What is... Dax, are you...
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker? On all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all. So we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge! Trucks up 3.9%!
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
It's time to wake up with a nice cup of morning roast. Featuring
the Fillmore's finest, Monte Hill. The pride of the Excelsior, Joe Butcher Boy Shasky.
Take him out.
You're listening to 95.7 The Game, the morning roast.
Looney dribbles it out to Curry. Pump fake, fly by, three ball. Got it! Oh, the net barely even moves. Curry with a pure shot from the left corner. And he claps and pumps his fist. He knows it's not over. But that was a big time bucket by number 30. Second free throw's on the way. It's up and in and out. Ball tip. Wiggins has it. He's dribbling up the clock. Gets it to Curry. Curry fouled with 6.3 to go. What an offensive rebound for Wiggins.
What a difference 24 hours makes around these parts if you're a Dub fan. 888-957-9570. They scored the first 13 points in a game. The largest run they go on to start a game. They're up 13-0. They're up 34-10 in the first quarter. Stepping in four threes. They're rolling up 24. And then slowly but surely, all throughout the game, Minnesota would just chip away, chip away, chip away, chip away. But the Dubs somehow, some way, get it done down the stretch. 30 goes for 30. He goes for 31. Stephen Curry, that is, making four of his seven threes in that first quarter. And a Klerstad dagger in the corner, as you heard by Tim Roy, the voice of the Golden State Warriors. And they get a much needed win. They go 2-2 on this road trip. They'll come back home for 8 of their next 9. They're now 28-20 again. They're back in the box. And you got a superstar, the franchise, Shasky, saying, everybody just shut the hell up. We got this. We trust Mike. We got this. And you know what?
Shut up.
I'll pass it to you. That's why I'm going to have a hard time if Steph Curry's ever in another uniform. I don't care. I will ride with that guy until the wheels falls off. The competitiveness, the will to win last night in Minnesota, shorthanded against the T-Wolves team, trying to find his way. Nah, man, I want no parts of trading Stephen Curry. That's not even in my thought process. I don't give a damn. Figure it out with 30. Do not trade this guy. He needs to be a Warrior for life because the message he sent after the game, for some of y'all chirping with the Twitter fingers, it was profound, Shasky.
God, what a game. You know, in the words of the great poet, Daryl the Guru Johnson, sports, man. Sports, man. I mean, we crushed this team the last couple of days.
Sports, man.
What was that? Give me one more time.
Sports, man.
That's literally how I felt yesterday watching that game. That first quarter was a revelation. I mean, think about this. They said a lot of things, and we all jumped and ran with it. What are we supposed to do when you have the three probably most prominent, most decorated players currently with the team, but maybe even of all time, three of the top four or five, right, of all time. And they're all talking about how, like, you don't make a crazy move. And well, the internet's going crazy. And this radio station's going crazy. And other people that talk about this team nationally are going crazy. And we buried them. And I think part of it was rightful. But the other part was a lot of people are running with a lot of craziness. And there's a lot of just wild rhetoric. And for them to come out and play the way they did, inspired basketball, I mean, this is why you love sports. You could not have written a better script. If you weren't shocked by the first quarter, now we'll get to the rest of the game, because you have to play all 48 minutes as we're learning, but that first quarter was incredible. 34-12. Bonte, they were getting loose balls. Guy Santos was giving you energy. TJD was giving you second chance points. I was watching Steph Curry get wide open looks. Shockingly, I watched Dennis play great defense on DiVincenzo. They made Rudy Gobert move. Wiggins looked good. It was incredible. Even the second unit, Buddy, Moody, Buddy. GP2, Looney, and Curry, that looked good.
Buddy Hield, when he scores at least 18 points, the Warriors are 10-0 when he scores at least 18.
That's incredible.
Now, seven of those 18-point games came in the first nine of the season when the Warriors were rolling and, of course, got off to a 12-3 start. But I will take it. I will take the 8 points in the fourth quarter. He was stuck on 10 for a while, but he had big shots. Remember, he got fouled by DiVincenzo on the three-point line. He nailed all three free throws, so a step in the right direction for him. I thought Gary Payton II looked good in his return. GP2 was boxing out. He was active, making it difficult for Anthony Edwards. Andrew Wiggins, as you mentioned, this is why I have a hard time wanting to trade Andrew Wiggins, because he's actually one of your better players. Two-way player, 24 last night. How about him making his free throws yesterday? 10 of 12 from the free throw line, Andrew Wiggins. But Mully always talks about this being a first quarter league. How do you set the tone in the first quarter? The Warriors did that. Again, they scored the first 13 points in the game. They do this thing in Minnesota where they stand up until they score. So I'm thinking Elton John for the first 4 minutes and 27 seconds. I'm still standing. Yeah. Because they wouldn't score.
Elton John.
They couldn't score in the first 427.
I call cap on that.
No, that's no cap, baby. You just don't like that pull. Because I'm still standing, baby. And that's what Stephen Curry said yesterday. I've watched the movie Sing plenty of times. listen, Stephen Curry, and he told y'all, we're still standing. How about this message after the game? Twidiots.
All the Twitter fingers who's got deals that we need to make can kind of just shut up a little bit and let us figure this thing out. Like, we know we can be competitive, and we showed, you know, that toughness tonight. Obviously, every team is trying to find ways to get better, and for us, we've been great for a very long time. This is just a unique year where we have to be able to stay relevant and give ourselves a chance and just have some life in a playoff series, and we have a whole lot of confidence that we can, you know, beat anybody. So, yeah, that's it.
Here's Stephen Curry on the podium.
Anybody who thinks that I'm okay with just being an average basketball on an average basketball team is insane. Take whatever I said, I still stand on it, but that doesn't mean that you're not in a situation where you're trying to get better, make appropriate moves that help you do that. Mike knows that. We've talked about it. That's the expectation for me, trying to help lead the team where we want to go. Again, that doesn't mean that you're reckless. What people's definition of that is in our business, Mike's going to handle his, see where we end up.
I was thinking, like, damn, I'm shocked you're talking to me. That's what I thought. I was like, damn, is Steph talking to all of us? Because we're all guilty. No, it's
no,
not just you,
guilty.
Me,
we're
like radio
guilty.
Hosts. It's everyone, fans, friends. Everyone's contemplating 1,000 trades, okay? We all are. And this is the legendary player, the greatest player in franchise history, Wilt to the side, who's telling you guys, shut up, pipe down, I got this. And we'll figure it out. It doesn't mean we're going to make the right moves, but we'll figure it out. I have no retort. What am I supposed to say to Steph Curry?
Well,
other than, okay.
Yeah, you know what?
I'll fall in line.
That kind of gave me a jolt last night when I was on the way home. It gave me a jolt to hear the franchise, the guy who was here from the bottom and built this thing from the bottom alongside this ownership group and his coaching staff, but it's Steph's show. It is Steph and Curry. He is the franchise. He's a guy that's helped make this organization a global icon. It's what's made him one of the more valuable franchises in all the sports. And what he said there was so profound. Because, listen, I was thinking on the way to the game yesterday, pregame show, leaving this show yesterday, the thought of trading Stephen Curry doesn't even enter my brain. I can't fathom it. I will go down winning 20 games with Steph Curry on my team, and I get the business aspect of it. He's the draw. I see how many kids out there with their number 30 jerseys going to the game for the first time in their lives saying, we want to see Steph. We want to see Steph. Trading him, because people started to go there, that thought started to permeate through a lot of people's brain. It's okay. We're all good. But Steph Curry said, you know what? Pipe down for a second. The deadline is February 6th. We've got time. You're 20-20. You play 8 of your next 9 games at home. You got to try to stack wins and reestablish home court at Chase Center. And I'll get to that in a second, because that's one thing that's been underreported, their lack of home dominance over the last couple seasons. We got to establish a home court advantage. We got to turn this baby back into Oracle. I'm a little disappointed in San Francisco in the way we've presented the Golden State Warriors. Not at the same time, they got to give you something to cheer about. There's been a lot of lackluster efforts at home. We'll get to all that. But here's Stephen Curry say that. Leave the trade machines at home. Let Mike do what he does. Now, a lot of this rhetoric, let's be real. the conversations about not trading or trading for the future and standing pat, all that, it all started from an article from Vincent Goodwill with Draymond Green. That's where it all started. Anthony Slater joined us yesterday and told us, look, Steph Curry was replying because we asked him based off of Draymond's article. Steve Kerr basically replied based off of Draymond Green's article. That's where it all started from. And look, I took it as like, damn, Shaska, are they really going to lay this down 39 games into the season? We're not even halfway through. That's not Steph. That's not Steve. No, they're not. They're going to fight. They're going to fight. They're going to fight. And let's go, baby. Buckle up. You're tied with the Kings for the ninth spot. You got to move up in this play-in tournament. You got to move up in the West. Buckle your seatbelts, folks. Let's see where this thing goes.
Shocker. Something Draymond said or did is reverberating, and others have to respond to it. I mean, wow. Color me shocked. Did anybody miss Draymond last night? I'm not trying to try to turn this into some sweeping indictment on Draymond, but no, you didn't. And I'm not here to be like, Guy Santos can replace Draymond Green. It's not what I'm going to do. But what I will say to you is that just having a little heart and a little spark, it does change things for this team. And I would say this, that watching Guy Santos in the starting lineup, do I think he's some starter in the NBA? Probably not. Do I think he's a rotational piece on this team? Yeah, I actually do. I actually do. You know why? Because the guy can knock down a three. He can rebound really well. He's actually very active. He'll hustle. He'll crash. He gives you elements of what a JTA gives you, but he can actually knock down a shot. I think he's a willing passer. You saw him get a rebound in that game, throw it up to Steph Curry, run the full length of the court, and hit a layup. And I was like, wow. And if you noticed, they actually were forced to play 5-on-5 defense. And I thought that the Warriors got great looks. Now, is that sustainable? Could he be a certain? No, probably not. Like, I'm not. But what I'm getting at is they've got to have offensive threats on the floor alongside Steph Curry. And when you want to start the game hot with Steph Curry and get a good lead and get him feeling good and get wide open looks, Dennis got wide open looks. Wiggins got wide open looks. TJD got wide open looks in the lane. And if Steph getting wide, I'm talking wide open threes to start the game. You got to have offensive threats. So as I watch that game, I go, okay, what are the sustainable things to take away? The sustainable things to take away. Youth and active and GP2 making plays down the stretch and just guys hustling, number one. Number two, some threats offensively to start the game so we get some wide open looks. I thought the shot selection was fabulous because of the spacing.
Spacing was good last night. Warriors dropped 26 assists. They go 18-36 from the three-point line. I love Guy's activity. He picked up his first career NBA start yesterday. But TJD on the glass, grabbing 15 rebounds. He's grabbed at least 10 rebounds in three of his last four games. And just look at what he did on the offensive glass, giving the Warriors second and third chances in the half court. 9 offensive rebounds. But I also want to shout out Kevon Looney. I want to shout out Kevon Looney. 6 assists last night. 4 of them had to set up a Steph Curry 3. I thought Loondog was in the right place at the right time. And that's a guy where we've seen, whether you have Draymond Green or not, because I'm not going to make this about Draymond Green. They won a game without Draymond Green yesterday as he missed his third straight game due to a back injury and illness. But Kevon Looney always stand ready. And we've seen this in pivotal times, pivotal moments over the last 3 years where he can be that one big, and he's a very willing passer. And he's looking at the basket when he's in a triple threat position. And you know what? I encourage him to shoot that mid-range jumper. I want him to shoot more of it because I see him in warm-ups. He'll make like 10 in a row shooting the elbow jumper. And I'm like, Loondog, let it fly, baby. Let's go. You can hit that shot. So I thought Looney was very important yesterday. But having the energy of GP2 with his 6 rebounds and running the floor and defending Anthony Edwards all on the full court. Look, the first quarter was great. The third quarter, not so much. They give up 20 free throw attempts as the game got hairy there. And then down the stretch, the inbounds play, which gave Minnesota the ball back. I mean, the execution data stretch just still needs something tweaked. In clutch time situations, the Warriors, it's almost as if they forget how to play basketball.
Monte, we talk a lot about fundamentals. And you texted the group that I said, I don't think I've ever seen that. And I literally said, oh, I have. That is a CYO play. Like, I see that all the time. I reffed a game. This was the other day. I reffed like 5 games in a row. Third grade basketball. And I'm the referee. And to me, it's instructional. I tell every kid, take 2 steps back when you're inbounding so that you don't step over. I always say to them, you get 5 seconds to inbound. So that they know, because you're teaching them. They're in third grade. Guy Santos, first quarter, 5-second violation. Late in the game.
Yeah.
GP2's inbounding the ball. Now, most people don't know this. After a made basket, you can run the baseline. But on a non-made basket, you really have to kind of stay in an area. You can get called for traveling out of bounds. It's very loosely officiated, but you get about a 3-foot window. And if you watch GP2, his feet are moving on the inbound. It's a dead ball. It's not a made basket. His feet are moving, and he starts leaning forward. And he's coming too close to coming inbound. You never lean.
No, you never lean.
Moody's coming, and he gives him a pass that takes him out of bounds.
Yeah, in the corner, too, and in the coffin corner.
And then the second rule of inbounding, which I say to every kid, get into the play. So you inbound the ball. You have to establish both feet coming into the play. And they failed to do that because Moody has to throw it right back to him in a hot potato fashion. It was a masterclass in why, in the grammar school level, in the high school level, you work on the literal fundamentals and the logistics of inbounding the ball. Never did I think that the Golden State Warriors would have to worry about it.
That's why
I think we have to. Then, let me go further, B. Steph, a made basket, and Steph Curry takes the ball out of bounds. And I'm saying to myself, guys, of all the guys on the floor right now,
Curry taking the ball out, throws it to GP2, he gets fouled, and he splits the free throws. But the Warriors come up with the key offensive rebound there from Andrew Wiggins.
Oh, my God.
They come up with the key offensive rebounds. Never easy. Oh, it's just the way the season's going to go by.
Oh, my God.
I mean, that's a microcosm of what the season has played out with. And even Steph, when he threw the ball to GP2, he was like, ah! But he had no choice because you got to get the ball in. Yes. So, you know what? It's not going to be easy. It's going to be a struggle. They got outscored in every single quarter after the first quarter as that 24-point lead dwindled and dwindled and dwindled. But you know what? Minnesota was never able to take a lead. That was a wire-to-wire win for the Golden State Warriors. And they end their road trip on a good note. They fly back to the Bay Area. I believe they flew back last night. They get ready for the Washington Wizards on Saturday. And here we go until the deadline, February 6th, noon Pacific time. What are the Warriors going to do? Are they going to work the margins? What is Dunleavy going to do to help this team try to move up in the Western Conference? Because when you do look at the West, and I brought it up tongue-in-cheek yesterday, because they were 3 games behind the Clippers in the loss column. They were. Those are the facts. Well, right now, they're 3 games behind the Clippers in the loss column for the number 5 spot.
For the number 5 spot. And then what are they 3 in the other direction, just out of curiosity?
They're 6 the other direction. The Portland Trailblazers. But Sacramento.
No. I'm saying, like, if the Warriors lose the next.
Oh, well, yeah, they'll be out the box. They'll be out the box.
But the margins are thin.
I'm thinking positive this morning, man. I got tunnel vision on.
There's a lot of good
just the lane of positivity because Stephen Curry looked at the camera and said, put the Twitter fingers down and just, here, I can't get enough of this quote.
All the Twitter fingers who's got deals that we need to make can kind of just shut up a little bit and let us figure this thing out. Like, we know we can be competitive, and we showed, you know, that toughness tonight. Obviously, every team is trying to find ways to get better, and for us, we've been great for a very long time. This is just a unique year where we have to be able to stay relevant and give ourselves a chance and just have some life in a playoff series, and we have a whole lot of confidence that we can, you know, beat anybody. So, yeah, that's it.
That message from the franchise, looking directly in the camera. And I know I don't do the Terry machine thing. And you know me, I have a hard time even discussing the conversation or even flooding out there about trading Steph or doing this or doing that. Him looking at that camera saying, shut the hell up. We've done this before. We got this. Now, some of it is the Warriors put this on themselves with some of the rhetoric, but I'm glad they cleaned it up because I could only imagine Joe Lacob listening to the radio yesterday saying, what the hell are we talking about? White flag, 39 games in. What? Huh? What's going on here? We play for keeps. We got a championship mindset in this building. I'm glad Steph Curry calmed the waters for at least 24 hours. At least 24 hours. I don't know what I would have done if they lost that game.
If I would have polled Warrior fans, what do you think the percentage of people who actually thought, yep, we're winning this one, going into that game? Less than 5%?
Which is crazy because they had beat the T-Wolves 2 straight times.
Well, I mean, Julius Randle. Julius, just what a horrible trade.
He's a tough watch. He's a tough watch.
The way that they defeat. You know what? Let's talk about the other side.
All right. We'll talk about it on the other side. Lars in Pacifica. Oscar in Stockton will get to you as well. That's coming up, brought to you by Valvoline Instant Oil Change. Safe travel. In the new year, starts at Valvoline Instant Oil Change, a 15-minute drive-through oil change for all vehicle types. Friendly technicians will check fluids, wipers, lights, and much, much more. No need to get out of your vehicle. Locations, coupons at BayAreaOilChange.com.
Dub Nation, it's Gee Santos here. You're listening to The Morning Roast with Bonta Hill and Joe Sasson on 957.
to survive. Feeling like a little kid.
I'm still standing.
After all this time.
Come on. Come on, Spadoni. Come on. Look, Shasky, like that pool? Still standing.
I think this is the first time you've heard this song.
I'm still standing. Yeah. Come on. I bump that. I do bump that. It's a good song. Very good song. 95-70 game knockout tournament, second annual knockout tournament. Hey, the Sing movie was great. The gorilla was moving. Chester and I sing that song all the time. By the way, Chase Center Tournament, second chance to play in the 95-70 game knockout tournament, the second annual knockout tournament here at 95-70 game. You can shoot hoops at Chase Center. That's right, the Chase Center. Go out there and get your game on. Go warm up, shoot some threes where Steph Curry shoots his threes at. And the contest to qualify will start Monday, January 27th, to go for 3 weeks. So you'll have plenty of chances to win. Three times each day you'll have a chance to win. 8 o'clock hour, 12 p.m. hour, 4 p.m. hour, starting Monday, January 27th, for your chance. And each show will have a slot to give away each day for 3 weeks. And, of course, you have to be 18 and be a California resident. Warriors get a much-needed win. Last night in Minnesota, they went by 1 point, 116 to 115. They were up 24 in the first quarter, and that lead just dwindled. But you know what? Steph Curry knew how important that game was. He played 37 minutes and 20 seconds last night. His Warriors do have 2 days off. Man, 37 minutes, 20 seconds for Steph Curry. That's how you know the Warriors needed that one bad.
Yeah, there's no doubt Fitz was alluding to, like, he's at the 33-minute mark already, and this was like, whatever, with 5 minutes to go. I thought Dennis Schroeder played a really well-played game yesterday, even though it may not reflect it because he didn't close. He fouled out. I thought it was a weak call. He was frustrated. But he had a couple of nice plays with TJD. I thought TJD was active. Dennis got some wide-open looks early in the game. He did a great job kind of like skip passing the ball. And I just thought his ball pressure and his activity defensively was setting the tone. Doing ball pressure on Dante DiVincenzo, bringing the ball up the floor. And Dante DiVincenzo, I mean, what a game. He hit some shots in the fourth quarter that were excellent. I'm just a sucker for him as a player. I love him, Dante DiVincenzo. But great game. A fun game. And the way they were trading shots at the end. And yes, I was thinking like all of you. Dear God, how are they going to lose this game?
Well, it was a fun game. And in the third quarter, it just came crashing to a halt. The third quarter lasted an hour last night. I mean, the Lakers game began at 7 p.m., 7:05 or something like that. The Warriors tipped off at 6:42. The Lakers game was over 15 minutes before the conclusion of the Warriors game.
Why do they do that? Why do they tell us it's a 6:30 start and then tip off? 6:42
television. You got to stagger in ESPN with a doubleheader or whatnot.
That's, I know, but it drives me nuts.
Well, it gets you in front of your TV, that's for sure. But the third quarter, the T-Wolves shot 20 free throws alone in the third quarter, 15-20. The Warriors have shot 10 themselves, 8 of 10. There was, in that third quarter, 19 fouls called. Just killed the entire Florida game for a while. It's just a free throw shooting contest. It's Tony Brothers, a.k.a. Catfish, was calling things all over the place.
How about the end of the game?
Oh, the end of the
game. What was that? I still don't understand. So they made a basket, and the Warriors are up one, and it looks like there's point whatever on the clock. The Warriors inbound the ball. And Tony Brothers calls like all the officials in, and it takes like a minute and a half, maybe longer, and they add a full second on the clock. The whole sequence made no sense. It was unnecessary.
It's a Tony Brothers special, man. A Tony Brothers special. Let's go to Lars in Pacifica. Lars, what's up?
Gentlemen, good morning. How are you guys?
I'm doing great.
I am doing great. I'm so happy the Warriors finally won a clutch game. I have just a couple thoughts, and I'd love to get your guys' thoughts as well on this. Earlier in the show, you know, I think it was said, you know, it's like I don't, you know, see Dub Nation getting as upset as some people think, you know, if we trade Draymond Green. I completely agree. I mean, I'm the biggest Draymond fan out there. I tell people, if you don't like Draymond, you would love him if he was on your team. But the Warriors, I think, are in the bottom five teams in the league for winning clutch games. And I think, like, the biggest value of having Draymond on your team is, you know, big moments in the playoffs. But the Warriors, you know, outside of last night, are terrible down the stretch. And we've dropped so many clutch games. And, you know, when you think about Klay Thompson, I know it's a different situation from the contract. Draymond has a couple more years, but it's like you can get something right now, and he's not like Steph where he's going to be good, you know, when he's 40. And he's only going to get worse as he gets older. And I don't know. I think it's, you know, when we think about these trades, I think Draymond is definitely, you know, on the block. And if they can get something great for him, I love Draymond, but I think it, you know, it wouldn't kill me if they moved off him this year.
There it is. Warriors are 12-13 in clutch time games this season. 12-13 in clutch time games. So they finally get one yesterday. They've been struggling in clutch time situations. There's no doubt about that. Trying to figure out their offense. It was the 25th clutch game of the season for the Dubs. The second most in the NBA, trailing the Minnesota Timberwolves, who played in 26 clutch games. And it feels like when you're an average team and you're 500, you're going to be in a lot of close ball games. You're going to either blow some games, you're going to come back and rally in some games. But the Warriors, more importantly, too, they're 1-15 in games they've trailed after the third quarter. So they haven't rallied when trailing after three. That's the next step for this basketball team, Shasky.
There was a sequence. Oh, my gosh. Okay. So it's 102-96.
Yeah.
And TJD is super active. GP2 super active. And then Steph throws the ball away on GP2. I think he thinks GP2 is going to fade to the three-point line. And GP2 kind of like comes into the basket where all the clutter was, all the guys. And you could tell that there's just a miscommunication. That happens, right? So you're up six. McDaniels gets an and-one, and that's where Dennis fouls out.
Mm-hmm.
He misses the free throw. Naz Reid gets the rebound and just puts it right back up
over for a little tip in.
And we're all, I don't know about you, but I'm thinking, oh, dear God, a six-point lead evaporated to a two-point lead within seconds. And then credit Buddy Hield. He gets fouled on the three-point
play. Makes all three shots.
And he hits all three free throws, you know? And
made all three free throws.
It was one of those nights. And then Steph hit the two, not one. Two threes. Corner threes. And the second one, you could tell whoever was jarring at him.
It was two Corsair fans jarring at him that got him up. And he turned around before the shot went in.
It was incredible.
It got wild because DiVincenzo and Curry was trading shots. Boom, 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 boom. But to get to 102-96, Wiggins had a big three-point shot where they just didn't allow the Timberwolves to get over the hump again. The Warriors won wire to wire. The T-Wolves never led in this basketball game. And they've got issues up there in Minnesota, which is their problem. They have a Julius Randle problem. It ain't the Warriors' problem. That's the Minnesota Timberwolves' problem.
Their finances. I'm just looking at their team structure. Gobert's making 44. Well, then it's 35.
They made a mistake before the season. They traded Karl Anthony Towns because they were so worried about their finances. You couldn't ride it out for another season. And then you extend Rudy Gobert before the year. Did you really have to do that? Gobert, 3 years, $153 million. Did you really have to extend him?
That's 32.
Okay, that's Minnesota's problem.
And then next year, he's 33, making 35. 34, making 37 million. And then the player option, 27, 28, will be whatever, 36 years old, making $40 million. I mean, that's.
Let me tell you, he's already opted into that contract. That player option's been picked up, buddy.
He is. I will say this, like, as much as he drives me nuts, that dude's humongous. He makes it very difficult when it's him and Naz Reid in the paint. Naz Reid stood up Andrew Wiggins late in that game. I was like, what a play. What a play by that guy. Your infatuation with Naz Reid is rightful because that guy is a freak.
15 points last night for Naz Reid. Let's go to Oscar in Stockton. Oscar, what's up?
Hey, man. Good morning, man. How you guys doing man? Good.
Not bad.
Thank you guys. I won my bet with my clients. I told you as soon as I wake up. Goes to Draymond Green, even when he don't play. Like I say, the hate is real, but my thing is that I don't care what Draymond was doing. I was called talking about G. Santos and the rest of the team. And just like Willard said and Bonte, you guys kept a positive attitude because just like Steph came out and said, man, we're not trading anybody, man. And all you Twitter fingers, pipe down. Let them do what they do. You have a good organization, a damn good coach, and we already got weapons on the team. And the Warriors, they did what I said they was going to do, just like B.J. Armstrong said the same thing. You have a good all-star. Draymond Green is still around. Steve Kerr. Just because they talked like that, that didn't mean they was going to give in. And that's why I said to my wife, I said, watch what Steph do tonight. He came out, he had a fresh haircut, came out, and had the team ready to roll. But I give you all the props because you kept on saying that. We all Warrior fans. And one thing about Draymond Green, him and Lake are his buddies. So all the hate, let's not be talking about Draymond getting traded. We don't want to talk about that. We have players on the team that we don't need to trade, and that's why Steph said that. We're not going to give up the farm for the future. And another thing, fans of the Warriors, we all fans of the Warriors. We are been spoiled. A championship team, we don't want to end like the Bulls did. That's why they said that. They want to lead the team in a good space. So we didn't trade everybody away. We have Kuminga. We do not need no Zion Williamson. I'm going to tell you guys right now, man, and a lot of you guys know this, man. We all, we're not inspired by the record, but we're in it. We're in it. And the way they played last night, I'm the man. Nobody is giving the Warriors, like everybody else have hurt, team players that's hurt. The Warriors got key players that's hurt, but we're not even making no excuses. Minnesota had a full team. Come on, man. Give the Warriors a chance to get healthy and let them play and guarantee you we're going to be in the box when this home series is over with. And everybody's going to eat their words. We Warrior fans. So we got to stick together, man. Stick together, man. The Warriors is in this, man. Y'all have...
All right, Oscar. Hey, anybody as optimistic as Oscar out there, 888-957-9570. I do want to check the temperature. A Warrior fan, yesterday we took a plethora of calls about the state of the franchise, and we'll play the sound bites coming up on the other side about the state of the franchise. Where are you at in terms of the optimism with this basketball team? They're 20-20. They're 500. Steve Kerr stormed off the podium Monday night saying, hell no, I don't like being 500. It sucks. I want to win games. Well, they have 8 of the next 9 at home as they improved to 3-4 without Draymond Green in games that he's missed this season. I'm definitely worried about this bet now. How surprised Ray missed his third straight. Got to get on the floor, man. This is starting to get concerning. But you're back in the box. Oh, we got a break. Oh, yeah, break. No, that's going to affect our numbers around here. Break.
Clean it up.
Brought to you by Fremont Bank. Here for you. Here for good.
Hey, Dub Nation. It's Trace Jackson Davis, and you're listening to The Morning Roast with Bonte Hill and Joe Shasky on 95.7 The Game.
TJD, I love the way he's playing. 14 consecutive starts. Sixth time this season with 10-plus rebounds. Had a career-high 16 against Cleveland back on December 30th. Last night, 15 rebounds. Career-high 9 offensive rebounds. I do like the way the tandem of Looney and TJD are playing. They're underrated passers, willing passers, and he's holding his own down low. That he held his own against Julius Randle. So not shout out to TJD, who quietly over the last 14 to stabilize a 5 spot for the Golden State Warriors. Rim running, sprinting from end to end, grabbing rebounds, being physical, being nasty. Hey, they say the Warriors can't develop youngsters. Well, TJD's developing. He hasn't developed into a bad player, second-round draft pick. Now, I'm not saying he's a star center or whatnot. He's going to be an all-star, but on this team, playing 26 minutes to 33 seconds, I like where TJD's at. He's blocking shots. He's contesting shots at the rim. Now, he's got to finish layups at a more consistent rate. No doubt about that. He's got to finish his layups and his dunks. I would like to see him develop a little baby hook, some soft touch around the rim. But you know what? TJD in the last 14, not so bad. Averaging nearly a double-double.
It's interesting because, the layups are clearly a thing. But his hands aren't that bad. Mm-hmm. Like, he does catch the ball in the lane and is willing to pass it back to the corner or, swing it to another teammate. And you saw a really nice lob dunk, Dennis and him, on a high pick and roll, which was really nice. So, I don't know. Do I think that their starting lineup is some lineup that is a force to be reckoned with? No. They need Kuminga back, obviously. But the guy that I feel like I kind of, kicking myself for laughing at earlier this year. I do think Gui Santos is a guy who could be in the rotation somewhere. Eighth, ninth guy. I'm not here to say that he's some six man off the bench. That's not what I'm saying. The guy brings a lot to the table. And I think it's just hustle, smart, energy, a little bit of size, can knock down a shot. I kind of like him.
Here's what Steph Curry said about Gui Santos.
He just played effort. That's all you can ask for. He's figuring out what his role is and how he can impact the team. But you've never seen a moment when he's been out there on the floor that he had, honestly, he's probably the hardest working guy. It stands out. So as he gets his reps and his experience, it's great to see he does what we all call control the controllables. And he does that consistently, and he's going to get rewarded for that. So, and you know, our team is going to benefit.
Here's Steve Kerr on Guy Santos.
Guy's energy right from the start. You know, I would we go up 12-0 or 11-0 or something? Yeah, he's just a big part of all that. The defense, the switching, the rebounding, the ball movement. He just makes really good basketball plays. He has a good understanding of the game, and that makes other people better.
And this is another shrewd move by Steve Kerr. Folks, yes, I'm Bonte Hill. I'm giving Steve Kerr a compliment. I know it's not popular around these parts, but Steve Kerr can coach, right? True move by starting Guy Santos, his first ever NBA start. First career NBA start for Guy Santos. And I saw the vision right away. It's like, you know, you see the starting lineup, you see Guy in there. It's like, oh, I get it. You drive Randall or Gobert out of the paint, and you have to honor Guy Santos because he is a threat for the three-point line. Now, last night he just goes 1-3 from three, but you see the 7 rebounds, you see the 3 assists, you see the deflections, you see the hustle plays, you see him diving on the floor, and again, you have to honor him on the three-point line. If you leave him open, he's very capable of shooting that three-point shot and making it. So I do like this Guy Santos development. We'll see what happens in the future once Draymond and Kuminga gets back. But so far, so good. What a road trip for Guy Santos. He could bottle this up. It's going to do wonders for his confidence. And the man may have carved out a role for himself on his team.
I think he has. And again, I'm not here to say that he's nothing crazy special, at least not right now. But to me, he's a guy that I got to kind of carve minutes out for. And, okay, now it goes back to like, all right, well, who does that come at the expense of, right, which is the tough one. No Kyle Anderson last night. And so, you know, he gets opportunities that I'm not saying him and Kyle Anderson are playing the exact same overlapping roles, but I'm saying, like, there are other people that are going to come back that are going to get forced into some playing time. The other guy who I thought had a really good game yesterday, just because he did a lot of little things, was GP2. Had a layup in traffic in the middle part of the game. Made some really big rebounds late in the game. I thought his on-ball defense at times on Anthony Edwards was good. That's a really tough matchup.
It is.
I thought Buddy played good defense yesterday, and I thought it was just shocking. And then I thought the way that they handled Julius Randle, and I know we brought this up before the last break, he would get into the lane, and then the second he'd get 2 feet in the paint, they would send a second guy over and double him. And the amount of times Julius Randle left his feet thinking he could go up with it, and there's two guys in his grill, I just thought they had a really sound strategy defensively.
Well, coming into that game in the last two, when the Warriors won 2 straight against Minnesota, remember Minnesota had won like 6 straight against the Warriors, and they won that first game of that baseball series, 107-90, where they outlasted them in the fourth quarter. Then the Warriors won that Sunday night, where Draymond Green went night-night over Rudy Gobert. JK was really good in that game, but they had held Randle to 4-14 shooting in that one. And over the last two, Randle has shot 8 of 28 from the floor against the Golden State Warriors. Matter of fact, I think it may have been worse than that. Maybe 8 of 30, if I'm not mistaken. But anyway, he went 8 of 18 last night. Julius Randle had to work for everything. The ball stops. There's no ball movement when he's in the game. And it's almost like he's playing for the Warriors. When the ball's in his hands, it's like, yes, yes, yes. The ball's in Randle's hands. Yes, yes. Because he's going to do something that makes absolutely no sense, which is drive into a double team, which is throw up an errant shot for 15 feet, which is chuck up a 3, which is not pass the ball around and maybe set a screen for somebody. Randle is an absolute mess in that organization. That's a bad trade that the Minnesota Timberwolves, I didn't think it was going to be that lopsided because of the DiVincenzo move. But boy, the Knicks are laughing, saying, and by the way, we should have known this. The Knicks took off when Julius Randle got hurt last season.
You would know this better than I would. Andrew Wiggins returning to Minnesota. Was that his best game?
In Minnesota?
Yeah, I don't know. I'm just asking.
No, I don't know if it was his best game. I mean, I know he had some, at Chase Center, he's had some big games against Minnesota. But in that building, I don't recall. But you know what?
I thought he was really good. He penetrated really well.
I was going to bring that up as you're talking about GP2 with Buddy Hill and everybody else. Andrew Wiggins, the activity, 24 big ones, 24 points. He goes 10 of 12 from the free throw line
on a team
that is shooting 71% from the free throw line, which is dead last in the NBA. Andrew Wiggins is shooting nearly 80% from the free throw line. He's having a career year from the charity stripe. And I love the fact that either him or Kuminga, do not let your free throw shooting impact the way you drive to the basket. Drive to the basket, be aggressive, get to the line. I don't care. You know, I would like you to make go 10 to 12 every single night. You may not go 10 to 12 every single night, but you can't let that take away your aggressiveness. And Andrew Wiggins this year, folks, this season, Andrew Wiggins, when he's in this lineup, he's a very important piece. Now, he's your number two. I don't know. Maybe he's your number three. But Andrew Wiggins on both ends of the floor has played very inspired basketball. He really has. He was dynamite yesterday.
I love that he didn't settle for the threes because he can always get that three. That wing extended three is always going to be there for him. And so you want to catch those in rhythm, right, after some penetration or some ball movement or whatever. But I thought he did a great job just attacking the rim. And you're going to get blocked at the rim every now and then, especially against a team with Gobert and Naz Reid, right? Like, and he did late in the game. Those two free throws were huge. Huge. I look at the Buddy three free throws. Those were huge. And I mean, when you win a game by 1 point, any one of these sequences can do it. But his activity, TJD's activity, like that's what this team needs right now. They're not the most talented team on both ends of the floor against any opponent. So all of the winning in the margins, loose balls, deflections, activity, second chance points, skip passes, running in transition, these things all add up.
And you got to take care of the basketball. Take care of the basketball. The turnovers in the first half were starting to pile up, but they finished with this 13, and they were plus 9 in the winning categories. Winning categories, I look at points in the paint. Where you didn't get dominated there, you're just a minus 6 when it came to points in the paint. But you win fast break 13-11. You win points off turnovers 22-13. And these are important categories where you try to scrap for a game, try to scrap for a win. Now, second chance, Minnesota got you there 25-16. But they shot the three ball well. They were able to hold off Minnesota. They kept their lead throughout the game. They never trailed in this basketball game, folks, which is crazy. After the first quarter, it was the biggest point differential they had all season long. After any quarter, up 18 going into the second quarter as Minnesota went on another scoring drive. Remember last time they played in Minnesota back on December 21st? Minnesota went 7 minutes and 38 seconds without scoring a basket, and they were stuck off 15 points for so damn long in that game back on December 21st when the Warriors went up 21-36-15. So Minnesota is prone to go on long scoring droughts. Can you take advantage of that? And the Warriors did that last night, getting the win. And the season series against Minnesota. Now you got a tiebreaker. You've won 3 or 4 against Minnesota in case things get funky down the stretch in the Western Conference.
What a difference. It's just 24 hours.
Yeah.
24 hours, one game, and you know they lose that game, and we're talking a total different tone this morning, right?
Oh, if they lose last night, oh, my gosh. Oh.
That would have been doom and gloom. Real quick, you mentioned Andrew Wiggins. That was, if you're going by scoring, Joe Shasky, you're wondering if that was his best game in Minnesota. That's the second most he scored in Minnesota. Back when they first traded for him, back in April 29th of 2021, he scored 27 there. Yeah.
27, okay.
27-4. He's had some games in Minnesota, 17, 12, 16. He had his big 35-point game at Chase Center when he had the two posters over Carl Anthony Towns. Remember that? That was early in that season when they went on an 18-2 run to start the season. But last night was by far and away his best game in Minnesota since 2021 with the 24 points, 5 rebounds. And I just love the aggressiveness. I do.
So, okay, you're watching that game. You're a Warrior fan. You're sitting here this morning. And you're like,
all right. Moody, real quick, I want to give some love, not to cut you off, Shasky. Give some love to Moses Moody.
Okay.
We don't know how good he is. I don't know how good he is.
A couple of really nice plays.
4-6 last night, 3-4 from the three-point line, 4 rebounds in 24 minutes and 56 seconds. He used fouls, had 5 fouls. He used them all. I'm not mad at that. He was aggressive yesterday. Moses Moody with the key 11 points. It's going to be forgotten about because of all the other stars, but thought Moody staying ready, hitting some timely threes last night was very important for the Warriors last night in the win over Minnesota.
Yeah, they lose that game, and all we're talking about is inbound plays. Right?
Inbound plays, fouling, well, Tony Brothers,
you know, flying
the non-Steph minutes. I mean, who the hell knows what we're talking about if they lose? So, but you know what? They did lose.
I know. What's sustainable? Like, I'm sitting here, and I'm a Warrior fan. I'm watching this, and I'm thinking to myself, all right. Like, I feel really good that they won that game. Boy, they needed it. Like, the soul needed it. Everyone needed it. The franchise player came out and said, everybody just pump the brakes. All right. So what can they sustain from what they did? And I'm telling you, like, my takeaway, it's not like overall basketball excellence or anything.